Any day now, he's going to come back. And I'll show you why I know that in just a minute. And when he comes back, every pain, every burden, every financial problem, every scheduling issue, every ounce of fatigue, everything that we face in this life is instantly going to be forgotten forever.
Amen. Thank God.
And you got to believe it's going to be very soon. It's just amazing. It kind of astounds us that he's waited this long. So let's go into Revelation 22 to begin, then we'll come back and just look at a few more things. I'm going to read the verses kind of quick tonight. This is the subject matter is quickly, and we're going to look at it quickly. The Revelation 22 and verse 20. He which testifieth these things, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. And that word amen means that it's the truth. So be it. And then John, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight that we can be assembled as a body of Christ, this local church. Lord, it's the last night of the year, and we keep track of time that way. We know that we step into a new year at midnight tonight, and we'll face problems old and new in the year ahead, but two things we know. One of them is you promised you would never leave us or forsake us. And so we know you'll go with us. And just as this year you've met the challenges, you have paid the bills, you have healed the sick, you have allowed us to see the Word of God go forth with power and see souls saved. And Lord, we know that next year as we enter this new year, there'll be some new problems to face, but the same solutions, the Lord Jesus Christ will be here to help us. God, I pray tonight that you just help us to be encouraged by these verses in the Revelation and to believe what Jesus said, which is he would come quickly. Help us tonight. I pray you'd help each one that is not with us this evening as we pray for them at the end of the service tonight. I think of Dan Ball especially, and I pray you would also be with Jeremy Bronow's mother who had surgery today, and just comfort them and take care of their bodies. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Quickly, seven times in the Revelation. We're going to go back to chapter 2 and begin there. And I'll try to make some sense of this. The word quickly is an adverb. I'm not an English scholar, but it is the way you do something. In other words, you can arrive, or you can arrive quickly. You can get the job done, or you can get it job done quickly. It's a word that means to do something with speed, without delay, without haste, to do something soon. And immediately, when I see those definitions, I ask myself, why hasn't the Lord come back yet? We think about that.
Amen.
I'm ready.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Wouldn't that be great if Dan Ball didn't have to step into eternity through death?
Yes,
and he could step, and he could just get raptured. Amen?
Amen.
Wouldn't it be great if tomorrow morning you woke up and the Lord Jesus Christ came back and you haven't got to worry about cooking lunch or whatever you were going to do tomorrow, and he's coming back. He keeps his promises. Amen?
Amen.
And he said quickly. But look at why, I think. He said that. Now, you know the word quickly. I'll give you some examples in the Bible. In Matthew 28, the women went to the tomb and they saw that Jesus was risen, and the angel told them, go and tell his disciples. And the Bible says in Matthew 28:8 that they departed quickly from the sepulcher to tell the disciples that Jesus was risen. And they were, you can imagine the excitement to go from defeat to victory. That'll put some speed in your heels. Amen. You know, you Sunday morning, Sunday, when you see a soul get saved, that keeps you going. And when you see God working in people's lives, that puts some speed in your step. These women, knowing that Christ was risen, had no trouble at all running back and telling the disciples. They did it quickly. In John chapter 11, when Mary was and Martha were there with Lazarus, and Lazarus had died, Jesus asked for Mary, and when Mary heard Jesus ask for her, in verse 29, she arose quickly and came unto him, wanting to be with the Savior. Isn't it good to spend time with the Savior?
Amen.
And, you know, from time to time when you get in a state of despair, maybe you're discouraged or maybe you're not sure what to do, I can just tell you the best thing you can do is just fervently ask God, Lord, show me what you want, and open your Bible and start reading. And he'll show you. And he'll answer your meet your needs and answer your prayers and give you direction. And keep on reading until he does, by the way. Acts 22, Paul came to Jerusalem after his conversion, and the Lord came to him and told him to get out of Jerusalem quickly because the Jews would not receive his testimony concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. There was an urgency based upon the danger. So seven times in the Revelation, the word quickly appears. I'm going to show them to you. There's just three categories here. It won't take long at all. We'll move through starting in chapter 2 and verse 5, and we'll finish back up in verse 22 here in just a minute. In two places, in chapter 2, verse 5, and chapter 2 and verse 16, you might remember that the Lord is speaking to the seven churches. We call them the churches of the Revelation. The churches of the Revelation were located in what we now call Turkey. I've been to one of them. I've been to Ephesus, and it's right there just a little ways off the seacoast. If I recall correctly, I think it's Smyrna, which is right there in the same area. It's called Izmir is the name of the city today. But if you drew a circle about 60 miles in diameter or thereabouts, all seven of those churches were right there in that part of Turkey, on the western side of Turkey. And the Holy Spirit had John, write each of those churches a letter. Two of them heard a very chilling comment, and I'll read those to you. The church at Ephesus heard the Lord say this in verse 16, Revelation 2:16. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Now, that's an interesting thing in verse 16. That's not Ephesus, by the way. That's Pergamos. In chapter 2 and verse 5 is Ephesus, and he says the same thing. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. So in verse 5 and in verse 16, verse 5, Ephesus, verse 16, Pergamos, in both cases, the Lord cautions them, you need to repent quickly. Now these are churches, they're saved people, right? Saved people can turn from their sin as well, can't they? If we have something in our life that is hindering or preventing God from using us, we should get rid of it quickly, shouldn't we? Amen. The sad story is, and here, just quick explanation, I don't want to get into the details because of the sake of time, but Ephesus was told to repent because they had lost their first love. And that word first is a quality of love. It's a type of love. It's that love that they had for the Lord when they first got going, when they first got saved, when they first got organized. And folks, the Lord deserves that kind of love all the time.
That's right. Amen.
Just a thought. When you grow cold, don't think God grew cold. If you and I grow cold towards him, he didn't grow cold towards us. And he tells Ephesus, he says, if you don't repent, I'm going to come quickly. And it's a chilling thing he says to them. He says, and I will remove, in verse 5, thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. In other words, the candlestick is their position as a church. And he says, if you don't get this straight, I'm going to take away your church. Folks, the Lord expects our church to love him. Amen. And if we love him, a lot of other things will fall in place. And he says, you need to repent or I will come quickly. And like I said, I have been to Ephesus. There is no church there today, and there hasn't been for an awful long time. It's an amazing city. Some interesting things to see. A Colosseum where Paul was unjustly accused and so on. But Ephesus lost their candlestick because the Lord did come quickly and remove it when they wouldn't repent. Folks, if we got something in our life that needs to be fixed, if we got something in our church that needs to be taken care of, let's do it quickly. Amen? Pergamos is the second church. They also needed a quick repentance. In verse 16, and again, just a quick. They had a teaching, a doctrine that was being taught there. It's the doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And you can study this on your own if you would like. But I'll tell you this, we're going to look at Balaam and that doctrine here in Numbers here in a couple of weeks as we go through Numbers on Sunday nights. But in a nutshell, what was happening was there was a compromise in that church between what they should have been doing and what they would allow that was not allowable by God. There was some immorality involved. There was some false teaching involved. And folks, the Lord wants us to be a pure church. And when things creep into a church, the compromise in Pergamos particularly would have been trying to have worldliness and godliness sitting side by side. Folks, we need to be godly.
Amen.
We need to reject worldliness. And it wasn't just that they were doing it, they were teaching this. It's being taught today, isn't it? A lot of churches are teaching, be as worldly as you want, just come to church. That's not God's plan. So there was a need to repent quickly. And the first two times we see that word quickly in the Revelation in verse 5 and verse 16 of chapter 2, it was in regard to a need for quick repentance. Now, go to chapter 11. Chapter 11. I am going to read you something out of chapter 3 in a minute, but I'll just read that to you. Chapter 11. It's rather difficult to understand what's happening in the Revelation, especially if you just jump into the middle of something, unless you kind of have an outline. Revelation has a collection of sevens, and one of the sevens in the Revelation, there's seven of them, is there are seven trumpets that are going to be sounded. If you turn to chapter 11 and verse 15, the Bible says, "The seventh angel sounded," and there's a trumpet there. "And then there were great voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord.'" I like that.
Amen.
The people in this world that are ruling in opposition to God's will and God's word are going to be taken out of position and replaced by the Lord Jesus Christ. It says they are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Does that sound familiar? It's part of the Hallelujah chorus. We enjoy that Christmas time on occasion. And this quickness here in Revelation chapter 11 is found in verse 14. He says, "The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly." It's a promise of judgment. Hold that thought, and I'll mention that as I finish. But let me show you the last two. Go to Revelation 22. Three times in chapter 22, the Lord uses the word quickly. He says in verse 7 of chapter 22, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." He says in verse 12, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be." He says in chapter 22 and verse 20, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus." Now, standing where we're standing in the world we live in today, looking back over the last years and decades and centuries, we probably have a sense that he has not come quickly. But when he does, you're going to see it differently. And here's what you can see here in chapter 22, if you stop and think about it a little bit. Have you ever, maybe a little child is being disobedient, and they think they're getting away with it, and all of a sudden they look up and there's mom. And it seems kind of quick, doesn't it? Like, where'd mom come from? There are three groups of people in Revelation chapter 22 that are going to experience the Lord's return and see it kind of quickly. And the first of those groups of people are going to be folks that are not obeying God, the folks that are disobedient. If the Lord Jesus Christ came back tonight, are we ready?
Amen.
Say, yeah, we're ready. But honestly, maybe there's some things in your life you'd like to fix up first. Maybe there's something in your life, maybe there's some decision in your life you'd like to change before the Lord comes back, because you know that decision doesn't honor him. Or maybe you haven't been serving him and you'd like to get busy serving him again before he comes back. You'd like to be found serving him. Amen.
Amen.
If you haven't been serving him and he comes back, it's too late then.
Amen.
We always talk about if there was a 24-hour warning, if you knew Jesus was going to come back tomorrow night at 7:30, how would you spend the next 24 hours? I know this, you'd be telling some people about Christ. Amen. I wouldn't be too worried about balancing my checkbook. I wouldn't be too worried about planning a vacation or buying a new car or whatever. I'd be very interested in making sure that some people that aren't saved heard the gospel one more time. If you're not obedient, when the Lord comes back, it's going to seem awful quick. Like, I wasn't ready for that. So let's be ready, amen? Let's be obedient. In verse 12... He says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." You know, when you're busy, time flies, doesn't it? You look back over the last year, and if you've been busy serving the Lord and doing this and doing that and doing the other thing, it just seems like just yesterday that the year began. And here we are again at the end of the year. And am I the only one that as I get older, it seems like time moves faster? Is that kind of seem that way? It does, doesn't it? It's like I'll find myself on Monday thinking, oh, wow, I hope I have enough time to study for Sunday. It's only Monday, but I've already got the week kind of mapped out and I can start to see the gaps and the work and so on. And time flies. If you stay busy for God, his return is going to seem awful quick to you. If you're just hanging around waiting, have you ever had one of those situations? I used to have to ride a bus when I was a kid to go from my dad's house in Texas to meet the lady that adopted me in New Mexico. And we stopped in Roswell, New Mexico for a 4-hour layover. And this was before the days of electronics. A teenage boy sitting in a bus stop, a bus station in Roswell, New Mexico for 4 hours. That seems like a year. But when you're busy, when you're doing something, when you're enjoying yourself, time flies, doesn't it? Folks, stay busy for the Lord. His return's going to be a lot quicker.
Amen.
Amen. It'll seem quick to you. And then that last one there in verse 20, it says, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." I kind of look back to verse 12 as well. Have you ever had a deadline for, I don't know, a project or something like that? And maybe a deadline in school, and you had a certain amount of time to get the work done, and then you were going to get graded for that work. Or I remember in college, the certain amount of time to study for a test, and took some upper-level math classes, and I just wasn't enough time to study for those tests. And so you'd work as hard as you could to get ready, but you knew that deadline was coming. I think about this one a lot, and we'll be done, and that is, when the Lord comes back, and it's really more from verse 12 than verse 20, what does he say there in verse 12? "My reward is with me." What kind of reward is that? What do you think? He's going to reward us for what we've done, isn't he? You went on visitation? You got rewarded for it. You came to church, you got rewarded for it. You witnessed to somebody, you got rewarded for it. You drove a bus, you cooked a pie for a fellowship. You, whatever you did, you gave somebody a glass of cold water in Jesus' name. You handed out a tract. 1,000 things that we can do. When he comes back and you receive those rewards, you're going to forget all about the time. It's going to seem awful fast. And then when you give those rewards to the Lord Jesus Christ, I know every one of us is going to say, "I wish we'd have done more." Now, sadly, some people are going to have very little to give him because they took all this time that they had in this life and they used it for themselves, or they got preoccupied, or as the Bible says, they were They were entangled in the affairs of this life and they didn't have time to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you get there And it's time to put those rewards at his feet and say, Lord Jesus, I did this for you. I think you're going to wish you'd had more time.
Amen.
It's going to seem like it came back awful quick. I think he's going to come back very soon. I was thinking about it today, and do you get excited about that? And I thought about it this way. Can I tell somebody, he's coming back for me, and I can't wait? Can you say that? Can you say it with sincerity? He's coming back for me, and I can't wait.
Amen.
Or you say, oh, I wish I had a little more time to get things right. I need to repent of some things. Or I need to do some work for him. Or I need to earn some rewards for him. That's the quickly. But when you're just serving him, folks, he's coming back for you and I. It would be the best thing that could happen to our church next year if we loved the Lord Jesus Christ more and more and more.
Amen?
Amen? To the point to where you and I could look at someone else and say to them, I can't wait till he comes back because I love him. And I can't wait till he comes back because he loves me. And everything he's done for me and everything I've done for him, finally we're going to be able to get together on that. That's quickly. That's why it's going to seem awful fast. If you're out in the world, struggling to get by, got to pay the bills, got to do this, got to do that, and just groaning through life one day at a time, it's not going to seem so quick. But if you're anticipating his return and you're getting ready for it, sort of like, good illustration, and we'll be done. We just finished Christmas, right? And what do we always say? Christmas came so quick this year. Don't we say that often? Why do we say that? Because we were so busy getting ready for it. We needed time to be ready. It just seemed like it came too soon. That's the quickly. Amen?
Amen.
That's the way it ought to be. We ought to be anticipating his return like 10,000 Christmases and getting ready for it and being excited about it. And then it's going to come so quick, you'll say, wow, that was fast. I wasn't quite ready. Amen?
Amen.
Maybe this year. Maybe tonight. Even so, come Lord Jesus. And three times he said, behold, I come quickly.
Amen.
And he always keeps his promise. And you know something else? This life is like a vapor, right? 10,000 years from now, a million years from now. There is time in heaven, by the way. We'll talk about that some other day. But anyway, a million years from now, you're going to say, wow, life sure was short, wasn't it?
Yeah.
At least the life on this earth.
Amen.
Eternal life is forever. Anything you measure up against forever is pretty quick. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.